discretion, with no proper training, with no adequate tools, and this is affecting thousands and thousands of people in the United States.
So, Sheila, we have to end here, but we're going to conduct this interview in Spanish as well, and we'll post it at democracynow.org. Yvette Boiseau, Project Manager for La Raza Database Project, and Jesus Garcia, Demographer and Statistician on the project. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
Rectangular, rapid flashing beacons are warning devices at pedestrian crossings. Maintaining safety at these crossings is the responsibility of both pedestrians and drivers. Be watchful when you see a pedestrian beacon and look for approaching pedestrians, even when the lights are dark. A pedestrian should push the button to activate the signal. When the lights begin flashing, indicate you intend to cross by carefully stepping into the crosswalk. The flashing lights are meant to catch a motorist's attention. When you see them, it means a pedestrian is trying to cross. Be prepared to yield to pedestrians in the crosswalk. Allow pedestrians to completely cross the road, whether or not the lights are still flashing. When pedestrians and motorists follow the rules of the road, everyone can stay safe.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, and to the entire world on the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hello there.
And summer came back today for some reason.
Yeah, in places it felt very warm. It was almost 90, I think.
That's not right.
Maybe 80, half, mid-80s.
It's October. It's October. October 3rd. No. No, we can't have this.
I saw activity, people trying to work in this in this incredible heat, and change gears to summer mode when it's actually fall, it's autumn.
It is, and we're going to act that way. So don't expect anything other than that from us. You know, that was quite a story. I was listening to Democracy Now! Before the show, and you know what annoys me that the story about the indigenous activist who was shot by a MAGA person in New Mexico. How come I did not hear this story reported anywhere before hearing the story tonight on Democracy Now? That is what upsets me, not as much as the guy getting shot, but for God's sake, why isn't this a headline that this is the kind of thing that's happening?
Absolutely. The coverage of so many other unimportant things when this dramatic action being sort of threatened in real time by a sort of adversarial group or an individual, and just harrowing. I didn't hear anything about it. No one said anything. I don't know. Yeah, it deserves a lot of attention. I'd like to see some.
I see the mugshot of the guy who shot him. He's smirking in the cameras, wearing a MAGA hat. This is where we're heading, folks, to violence, to people getting shot for demonstrating. What was he demonstrating exactly? He was demonstrating against the installation of a statue.
Reinstallation.
Okay, reinstallation. The first European to colonize New Mexico. So, you know, you could sort of see why people would be upset by that. And apparently that was worth attempting to execute him in this idiot's mind. And, you know, you wonder where that comes from, where that kind of messaging, that kind of action is inspired. Just look around at what is being reported in the news. And you see how the unhinged can be inspired to take matters into their own hands and express themselves with violence. And it's really disgusting. It's kind of a microcosm of what we've been talking about on this show. Actually, no, it's the opposite of a microcosm. The microcosm, all the racism that we see week after week in our schools around here, being inspired by the words of our elected officials, our local elected officials. It's truly disgusting, and we have to do something about it. We have to speak out loudly. And, you know, the upcoming election is a good way to do that. Certainly 2024 is a great way to do that. But we have to be inspired. We have to make sure we're talking about the things that matter. You know, instead of switching gears and trying to both sides things and say, yeah, okay, Trump is corrupt, but so is Hunter Biden, even though he's not anywhere near the White House. Trump is somebody who is being charged with 91 counts at last count, but Biden is old, as if that has anything to do with anything. Last I checked, Biden was making decisions and policies that really piss off the right wing in this country. It's not something somebody without control of their faculties can do. Okay? He's doing the job. You might not like the job he's doing. I don't like everything he's doing. Good luck finding somebody that you like 100%. He's the best we have right now. I'm looking forward to better in the future, and now is the time to start building that. But instead, all we're doing is arguing and pointing fingers and bemoaning our fate, and we can do better. We can really, really do better.
Well, and amplifying a lot of that arguing and so forth, instead of telling the stories of people that are acting and protesting out there and meeting this kind, the result of the kind of indoctrination that the youths are getting. And it ends up that they, you know, confronted in some cases, putting their lives on the line just to express something that's totally contrary and really the antithesis of what we've been about in this place. And they want to try to disappear that. They want it They want the conquerors to be glorified. They think the conquest deserves its glory and that its diminishment is a threat.
How much of a life do you have to not have to want to go out there and ensure that that these evil people of the past are celebrated? I cannot understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, need some better hobbies and perhaps, I don't know, a more vigorous attention to getting people preoccupied with something else.
Yeah, but I mean, you have the Matt Gaetzes of the world.
But the politicians don't help. Yeah,
yeah. You have the Bobrads and
There's
so many of them.
It's
now.
Exasperating it, and then they're trying to put it into the coursework.
Mm-hmm.
They want the venom that is coursing through the politics now
right.
to be indoctrinated and basically a part of the curriculum for the next generation.
Right. Well, anything that's progressive is dismissed as woke and has to be kept away from people. And we don't fight this enough. We really don't fight this enough. And in fact, I see people on the left who actually accept some of the premises and start referring to woke as a bad thing. When it's a good thing. Being woke is a good thing because the opposite of that is being asleep. Right? And not paying attention to things that have changed. And not realizing that, yes, sometimes you have to tear down statues and replace them. Sometimes you have to rename streets. Sometimes you have to rename schools. And sometimes you have to rename teams. That's something that here on Long Island, we talked about this in the last few weeks. It was one school district last week. Well, now the Wantagh and Wyandanch school districts have filed a lawsuit against the State Board of Regents in an effort to continue using the Warriors team name following a statewide ban on schools having Native American mascots, names, and imagery. We should not be having this argument. It's so basic that, you know, you can't take advantage of an oppressed minority. And that is exactly what has been going on and what continues to go on. The lawsuit was filed in Central Islip Federal Court late on Friday. Both schools plan to change their respective mascots and or logos to remove any Native American associated imagery, but they want to keep the name. Yeah, you know, that just doesn't work because when you say the name, people are going to associate it with the imagery, even if you take the imagery away. That's kind of how it works, you know? Remember Aunt Jemima? You could change the logo a little bit, but you're going to remember the old logo as long as you keep using that name. Eventually, you change the name, and you start to have different associations. But you keep using that name, it's going to evoke that imagery. They don't seem to get that. The lawsuit writes, if the Wyandanch School District and Wantagh School District retire their Native American imagery and successfully rebrand of the Warriors' name, then there is no rational reason why they should not be able to continue to use the Warriors' name. Well, there are many rational reasons. Association, you know, imagery that it basically stays in our memories.
Well, also, I think that it leaves a lot of room for the existing merchandise and apparel, things like that, that may already be in circulation
mm-hmm.
to sort of still be welcome. In other words, you may go through all of this, and people will be wearing the old jerseys or something, maybe, and they're sort of allowing, it's sort of permissive, you know,
yeah.
to not having a change, and thus they kind of give like a back way of giving them permission to wear this stuff and perpetuate uh-huh. the old shirts, even though there's been sort of this grousing and ceremonial change. By having the same lettering, people will just hang on to that stuff and show up and try to say, well, oh, it's the same team, so
yeah,
obviously,
okay.
You know, you're not forcing the change enough.
Good example there, because it makes me think of something. The Cleveland Indians, remember them?
Right.
That used to be the name of the baseball team in Cleveland. Now they're the Cleveland Guardians. Okay, if they remained the Indians, they took away whatever offensive imagery they had of headdresses and tomahawks or whatever, and just said, yeah, Cleveland Indians, we mean the other Indians on the other side of the world, whatever, we don't mean those Indians, but we're still going to call ourselves the Indians. Well, then people could march around with their old Cleveland Indians jackets and feel like they belong, whereas now it's the Cleveland Guardians, and yeah, you can walk around with a Cleveland Indian jacket, but doesn't seem like the same team.
The reaction,
that is what we're after here.
Yeah, the reaction should be, what are you doing? Like, why are you here for a different team?
I mean, you know,
it doesn't.
They're not going to get ridiculed, but they are going to be dated.
No, yeah, you do not belong because you're not sort of sharing the same uniform and the message team name. And that starts with the leadership in the team.
The message this sends to kids is that you can't adapt. You can't change with the times. You have to hold on to all these old ways, even when they're wrong. It's just, it's an embarrassment. So, yeah, add Wanta, add Wyandanche to the list. Massapequa, last week they filed their lawsuit September 21st. They wanted to invalidate the ban on Native American names and imagery. They go by the name Chiefs.
Who pays for all these lawsuits?
Who do you think pays for all these lawsuits? Yeah, the taxpayers out there. You're paying for this. Is this what you want? It's disgusting. It's really disgusting. Move on, for God's sake.
So instead of being on the winning side of this, you want the lesson will be how you lost. I mean, it's to spend the money and say like, oh, well, yeah, some things are worth defending, and that's the lesson we want to teach. I mean, you're on the wrong side of it, but you're teaching that you should stick up for, I don't know, tradition, whatever, fill in the blank
well,
you're going to try to
say.
Use.
They say it's tradition. They try to make it seem all
you're made
you know,
up tradition.
Respectful and nice. But then
if you lose, you're going to teach the lesson that you have poor judgment. You invest poorly in your litigiousness, and you're proven to be a loser or wrong in the court of law. I mean, you're just leading by failure, and it's the easy lesson is to do the right thing here, and they're not even willing to do that. They want to spend the money doing the contrary for whatever specious reason. It's stupid.
You have doubts about this. You think that this is something that Governor Hochul is like pushing, shoving down your throat with a woke agenda, all that nonsense. Okay, fine. Dismiss it based on that. But talk to some Native American people. See what they have to say. Get their opinion on this. Because their opinion on this so far, when they are talked to in these various news stories, is that it's highly offensive to them. And it's time to move on and not have this glaring in their face anymore. Enough.
Because, well, they have generations, too, that are coming up that shouldn't be fighting these kinds of stereotypes as they become adults in the world and so forth. So, like,
right.
I think there is a
exactly.
consideration I think the school district owes to the generations that the tribes are bringing up.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's their point to a large degree because a lot of the elders, they've experienced this. They know. They're trying to prevent it in the world. So how are you an ally to these people who are trying simply to live as many other Americans live their own individual lives with their community and bolster it in a healthy way? And, like, you can be a part of it. It's very easy. And, like you said, consult with people.
Yeah, they're around. They're in
impacting.
The area. If you don't know any Native people, you're basically not expanding your reach very much because they're represented in many ways, not nearly enough. We need to do more, you know? Hey, Reservation Dogs, final season. We're in the middle of it.
Oh, wow.
What, if you have not started watching this program, I envy you because you're going to experience something amazing. It's a program about Native people in Oklahoma. And just you learn so much. A tiny bit, but it's something, and I highly recommend that.
It's not all jokes this season.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This week in racism on Long Island, a student spectator at a John F. Kennedy High School girls volleyball game in Belmore last Wednesday verbally taunted with a racial slur, the Elmont team, prompting school teachers in the Belmore Merrick Central High School District to apologize on Thursday. Elmont Memorial High School Athletic Director Crew Patel said in a note to parents of the junior varsity volleyball team that unfortunately there was a racial incident at the Belmore JFK game on Wednesday. Our team was verbally taunted with a racial slur. The student was removed from the game and a full investigation is underway. Elmont Memorial is part of the Saranhaka Central High School District. It's amazing how many native names there are. Every time we talk about this, Wyandanch, Massapequa, Setauket, not that they are guilty of this right now, but all over the place, Patchogue, all native names. Do we know the history? Do we celebrate that history? Did we talk about that history at all? No, we don't, and we should. America, the country that names its towns after the people that it drives away from them. And slaughters. Racism at a volleyball game. Again, not surprising, but this is happening every week. Every week. Football, basketball, now volleyball. Kids are doing racist things, saying racist things. Where are they learning it from? Look around you. Turn on the TV. You'll see it. You'll see it everywhere, all over the place. Follow the trial at all? The first Trump trial. This is where so many people get it from his ignorant statements and perspective and things like that. Did you see him yesterday outside the courtroom just basically attacking the judge? First of all, you know, I've been on trial, okay, for a couple of things. And I, you know, naive as I might have been at the time, I knew insulting the judge probably wasn't the best idea. And he believes he's so far above all the rest of us that he can just do that, insult the judge, accuse the judge of being a political operative, drop docs on people, inspire all this hatred and potential violence. And that's just going to go by without any comment or consequences whatsoever. I hope he learns that that's not the way it works. I really do.
Oh yeah, and the consequences will just scale exponentially as he continues. And the people that are so mad and upset about it, I mean, I think it's tough. It's tough to be mistaken. It's tough to err in judgment. I understand that must be difficult, but It's only substantiating it how messed up it is.
Yeah.
Like, there's just it's a wash in mistruths and so forth. It just, anytime I hear it, I immediately recognize it as just bonkers. And he's the origin of most of it. And it's like ongoing. I don't know. I can't say enough about it. I could go on and on. But I think. I enjoy the Schadenfreude of the, you know, upset, because mm-hmm. it's just so flailing about. But I realize that, like, that's the best case scenario. The worst case is a lot of this inspired action and political violence, this stuff that is leading mm-hmm. to other wholly terrible behavior that is completely unacceptable. So mm-hmm. it pales in contrast to the way Democrats lose.
Yeah, of course. You know. it's sad to say when Democrats follow the rules,
all the time, it
doesn't serve them. It doesn't serve them at all.
You have integrity.
Yeah, but you know what? People aren't voting for integrity, and that's sad.
That's true.
That's really, really sad. Because every time he does one of these clown acts or gets indicted, his popularity goes up. I mean, what's wrong with us? I mean, yeah, okay, it's good TV, I guess. Is that what you're voting for? You know, we need leadership. We need policies. We need things that will make us better. And none of that is what you're getting with these kinds of people. I mean, look at the craziness we went through in those 4 years. You know, Giuliani and I just can't even relive it right now. Just all this nastiness and idiocy that we're seeing echoing down to this day. And what, we want an encore now? I don't think so. And I just hope that we can put aside whatever differences we have amongst ourselves and realize that, hey, this is for the game set and match here in 2024. We had better not screw this up. Now, today, a New York judge, Judge Arthur Engoron, sternly imposed a limited gag order in Trump's civil business fraud trial Tuesday. This isn't even a criminal trial. This is a civil trial. He's got three more criminal trials, if I'm counting correctly, and probably a whole lot of other things too. He imposed this gag order after Trump disparaged a key court staffer. He issued the order. It applies to all parties, by the way, not just Trump, but obviously Trump is the one who's the target of it. It pertains to verbal attacks on court staff. It came after Trump maligned Engoron's principal law clerk, Allison Greenfield, in a social media post. This is what he stoops to. Trump wrote that it was disgraceful that Greenfield was working with the judge in the courtroom. Okay, it's a court staffer. That's what they do. They work with the judge in the courtroom. It's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. And, I just hope that justice is served and that we grow up a little bit.
Yeah, and your spite politics comes right back around as more spite. Like, you're not the only one that doesn't have to lift a finger to upend things. Whatever you're talking about. Like, yeah, spite is easy. You can trade in that. But you're going to get just as much right back. Like, people are really tired of this. Mm-hmm. And really, really insulted because so much of this is just the antithesis, as I said. Like, it's just so wrong. And to act as though nothing happened or that you can just get away with this, it's foul, as I've said for months. I don't know. I'm out of adjectives. I'm
that's the thing. We're worn out. We're worn out by
that's
this.
That's the intent, though, and a lot of it is the civility. Like, I'm a certain persona here. I'm speaking, you know, under certain strictures and saying things in a kind, you know, respectful, sort of open way. And that's not the way these people are working in public and in Congress and on social media and everywhere else.
Uh-huh.
And I have, you know, I have opinions. I have things that are, you know, tempting to spout off or, you know, that make me upset and stuff. And I do, you know, I do say my piece, but I wouldn't behave quite like this, especially facing such halting, such incredibly like dire,
mm-hmm.
legal and historic straits, just for your own legacy,
mm-hmm.
for what this means for so many people aligning themselves with it. Like, I think about a lot of the things that have stained people across history, and you know, like, hereditary punishment is not allowed. Like, we're not to do that. We respect those norms.
Mm-hmm.
We forgive people who were associated by family with people who are horrible. We don't hold that against them. And somehow those norms are going to have to continue in the face of such undeserving treachery that is spanning generations. Again, they're trying to instill this in school and make this kind of political reactionary stuff. Like, unless there is judgment, unless there's some consequence, I don't know what else to say, but I think forgiveness is elusive on mm-hmm. so many levels for so many.
No, we have to keep speaking. We have to keep showing up. We have to not be intimidated by their violence, by their words, even by their victories when they inexplicably win elections. You know, Democrats, progressives need to stand up more and paint a very clear picture as to what more of these conservative policies will mean and what they have meant so far. You know, regarding things like women's right to decide what to do with their own bodies, how the LGBTQ community is being treated and maligned.
It's not compromised.
How immigrants are being demonized, it's you know, insane.
Every one of those issues deserves compromise. They're not compromising. They're navigating and getting and acting as though they can get and do whatever they
want. For every issue, though, that is brought up, that people say, yeah, that's a problem. Crime, for instance. Really? Crime? Okay. How come red states have higher crime rates than blue states? It's true. It is true. We can give you the numbers, but that is a fact. Red states have higher crime rates than blue states. Wow. Who knew? Immigrants are a big problem. Really? Immigrants are a big problem in this country, a country founded on immigration, where we need people to work many, many jobs, where people coming over the border are not invaders that you can compare to Russia invading Ukraine. What a stupid comparison that is. These are families. Look at the pictures, the live cameras that some conservative news channels are airing to show just what the threat is. It kind of backfires because you see they're toddlers, they're mothers with their children, they're people just looking for a better way of life in much the same way that your ancestors probably did decades or centuries ago. For every issue that the right wing tries to cast aspersions on Biden or Democrats or progressives, there is a counter argument. There are counter perspectives to look at and say, wow, this is not really the case. You talked about inflation. Yeah, inflation is a problem. Inflation is a problem everywhere, not just in the United States. I don't think Biden is responsible for what's going on in Canada or in Europe or in Asia, but it's still happening. So can't really be entirely on him, right? It's kind of the world's issue. You talk about pollution and cars and things like that. The auto workers are on strike. Yeah, that's something that is a big problem. But it's because of the greed of the auto industry. Electric vehicles are coming. You can't stop it. All right? You can right-wing solutions, basically, okay, no more electric vehicles. We're only going to make, fossil fuel-belching cars in the future. Fine, you can do that. People are going to buy electric vehicles anyway. They're going to buy them from other manufacturers in other parts of the world. What are you accomplishing? So every time you get one of these arguments, start asking questions. Start looking at other perspectives, and you'll see that they don't really hold up to scrutiny. And unfortunately, our media is failing us here because they want to both sides every issue. You know, you have all these people that stand up for science. You have to find somebody who's anti-science and give them an equal platform. And then all of a sudden, 50% is perceived to be against science, which is nonsense. So we need to make sure that the conversation does not stray too far into lunacy.
It's easy to do, too.
It's not right that there. Hard. It's
you
not
can
that
access
hard.
Access that tempting lunacy.
If you have issues, talk to a kid. You know, they tend to get it. They have not been polluted by the insanity yet. They'll say, "Wait, but Mom, that doesn't make any sense because you said this yesterday." Now, they're honest. They're totally honest. So McCarthy is out. This just happened.
I heard a lot of votes being counted.
I feel so bad for him. Republican Representative Kevin McCarthy. He only served as House Speaker for 269 days. That is the second shortest term ever. Do you know that?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Do you know who the first shortest term was?
No.
I guarantee you don't. I guarantee almost nobody listening, probably.
Grover Cleveland.
I don't even know. He was
a president.
Well, he could have been a representative, but I don't know. The record for the shortest term was held by Representative Michael C. Kerr, K-E-R-R, of Indiana. He served as Speaker for only 257 days.
What year? When?
If you'll let me finish, I'll tell you. Sorry. 257 days. This was 1876, and the reason he was no longer Speaker is because he died in office of consumption. What is consumption?
It's when you...
We don't have that anymore, do we?
It's when you have too many shopping carts full and your tabs are open.
Oh, that's funny. You're a funny guy. Yeah. I'm sure Kerr's relatives will appreciate that humor 150 years later.
And your browser crashes. And...
Yeah. Boy. Speaking of health, I had some interesting health developments this week. You're going to get more of this, folks. As I get older, there are going to be health things that I complain about on the air. It's part of my, I do a talk show, because I was given a choice, either go into therapy or do a 1 hour talk show. And I'm not kidding. 1 hour talk show where I can just moan and complain about things for an entire hour is very, very therapeutic. And it's as good as seeing a complete stranger doesn't really care who you pay a fortune to. And in that 1 hour show, I'm guaranteed to say at least one thing that's completely false too. So you never know. You never know when I'm saying the truth or just making something up to make time go by. But no, okay, here's what happened. A bunch of weeks ago, maybe 6 weeks ago or something, I had a hamburger. Now, I don't have very many of those. I used to have a lot more, but don't have that many. And about 6 hours after I had that, I woke up, because it was nighttime, and I had a stomach ache. And shortly after I woke up, I started breaking out in hives. I don't usually break out in hives, and it's kind of scary to see all these, you know, red splotches suddenly appearing all over. And I did what any normal person would do. I went to the internet, and I looked up, what is this? And that's when I learned about this amazing new syndrome called alpha-gal syndrome. Which is something else that ticks bring us. They bring us so much, don't they? yes, ticks can bite you. A particular type of tick. What is it? The Rocky Mountain?
Lone Star.
Oh, Lone Star, yeah. They do Rocky Mountain spotted fever. No, that's something else. Lone Star ticks. They can give you this this disease that makes it so that you can't eat red meat. So I figured that's what I must have. How do I get a test? How do I find out? Well, I had to look up an allergist.
We've heard of other people getting this, but yeah, you basically scared yourself a little bit, but found some people. You know, you got to actually talk to a doctor. Yeah. You shouldn't just trust the internet. So you were finding.
I just needed to get a test.
Referrals.
That's all I needed to do is get a test. So what do? I go to my health insurance. Look up who is in the network and, excuse me, call that office, make an appointment. Unfortunately, because they're the very best, they were tied up for several weeks, took about 4 weeks, I think, to get an appointment. Yeah. So, okay, fine. You know, I can avoid eating red meat. That's not a problem. If that's the only thing that triggers it, then it's not really urgent. So I made the appointment, I waited, the appointment was far away too, had to drive, you know, at least an hour to get there. And I finally get there, and it was hard for me to figure out how to get in the building. For some reason, a lot of, healthcare offices, doctors, are in converted buildings that used to be something else. I was in one that used to be a motel, you know, had like the drive-up thing with the little awning, and you could tell this used to be like a Motel 6 or something, and now it's a medical center. And they're popping up everywhere. You know, the Sears over here in Lake Grove, that's now part of Stony Brook Medicine. And they're everywhere. I mean, I guess we're either a lot less healthy or a lot more healthy now because of all these medical facilities everywhere. But anyway, so I had such trouble getting into this building because they were on a floor that didn't have an entrance. You had to go in through a different entrance on a different floor that didn't have a sign that indicated I was about 10 minutes late. So I was apologetic. And, you know, waiting to see the doctor, that's when the person at the front desk told me, we don't actually take your insurance. After telling me on the phone that they did, after being listed in my health insurance listing of allergists that took my insurance, now they're telling me when I'm there that, no, we don't really take your insurance. They said they were trying to reach me. They showed me a phone number that had the wrong area code. It was actually, they must have looked me up. It was an old number that I had maybe 20 years ago with the 516 area code instead of the 631 area code before the split. They never updated it, and for some reason they didn't write down the phone number that I called in on to make the appointment or ask for it. So I said, okay, so if I had to pay out of pocket, which seems to be what the bait and switch thing that's going on here is all about, I didn't say that, but I wanted to, what would that cost? And they gave me an outrageous amount. I expressed some dissatisfaction with that. You know, you can't really complain anymore without people taking it badly. I said, yeah, you know, I came all the way out here. I didn't even get that far when the person said, yeah, I'm just one person. I have nothing to do with this. And like I was attacking them. or, you know, being offensive in some way. Obviously, I'm not going to be happy if you make me travel and wait and then tell me that what you told me before is not true and I'm not getting the treatment that I need. So, yeah, I wasn't very happy, and I didn't storm out of the office, but I left the office, and that was that. So wasted a month waiting to get a diagnosis, and contacted my health insurance, said, you know, this is bad information you have there. Apparently, it's, and maybe people can let us know, if your health insurance company does this, they say it's up to the doctor to update the web page and say when they're no longer accepting that particular insurance. So to this day, that doctor is still listed, and they don't take that insurance. It's crazy. So I was very effusive in my complaints to the insurance company. I said, look, find me a doctor that actually takes your insurance, all right? You do the checking, because I already wasted time doing this. To their credit, they did. I had an appointment in one day, and going to that appointment was amazing. It was you know, I talked to a doctor there who really understood what I was concerned about, said, yes, this does sound like alpha-gal syndrome, because it takes 6 hours for it to process in your system, and then you show these signs. And he ordered blood tests for me to basically be checked out. And basically, I don't understand, because I had had blood work earlier, and it would be nice if they check for everything when you get a blood test, you know, because why couldn't they check when they took blood before for something like this? Instead, you have to basically say, I want to check for this. Can't you just get checked for everything, all the diseases? Is that naive to think you can do that? Because I literally, it was a few weeks earlier, because I was there for my annual checkup, that I'd had blood work done, but my doctor couldn't order that. I had to go to a specialist to get that request. So it just, I was dancing around trying to get the information I wanted. Anyway, finally got that particular test done, found out the results yesterday. Yes, I have alpha-gal syndrome, which means I can't eat red meat until it either dissipates, or maybe I can never eat red meat again. It's not the worst disease in the world. In fact, it might actually make me healthier, you know, and especially in this day where you have vegetarian burgers that taste just like the real thing. I'm not really losing anything here, I don't think.
Yeah, I feel like with synthesized meat, it's just like something they'll make sure isn't present and you won't have this kind of issue. But certainly it is good to get as much information and get those tests and so quickly, and not just assume it might have been a bad burger or something. No, this stuff is around.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of people. I mean, people are very active. They're outside. It's been a very warm summer. Still is a bit of a warm autumn. So be aware. And if you have any kind of symptoms and stuff, definitely get this stuff looked at, because
yeah,
you don't want to be unaware and then attributing it and then getting complications.
You say this often. You have to be your own advocate. And that is very, very true, because As you can see from the nonsense I had to go through, I couldn't get an answer right away to something that was a pretty obvious question. Once I manipulated the system in a particular way, it was easy. You know, I was able to get it done. Another thing, this allergist suggested, because in severe cases, you might need that thing called an EpiPen. You know, if you really have a bad reaction. I've had nothing like that, but he suggested I get one. And wrote a prescription for that. I went to the drugstore. Do you know they cost $300?
I heard that a while ago.
$300.
There was a bit of a price fluctuation, and it was going around in the political circles. But I thought it had been reduced, or there was legislation to force it. But it sounds like it never. I mean, $300 is what they were happy.
That's
at.
What they were billing me for at the desk there.
Holy moly!
Yeah, and you know, I basically asked, okay, so I have this magic card that I found on the internet. Does that help? And sometimes it helps. Sometimes it drives the price up, actually. But the pharmacist was basically searching online and was able to find me a coupon and bring it down to $84. So if I hadn't asked, I would have spent $300. You know, it's that easy sometimes. If you get people on your side, if I don't want to say I have a pleasant demeanor, but if you don't insult people straight away until they earn it, you might get some favors and have a better time. So anyway.
It shouldn't be agony, though.
No.
You shouldn't have to work this hard to just get basics and keep you moving along a path towards wellness.
It was weird, though, finding out, looking at the results that came in, and realizing, wow, I have this, I actually felt a sense of pride that I was able to diagnose myself and say, hey, this is what I have because of what happened. And the doctor said the same thing. He said, yes, you did exactly the right thing. I just wish I could have done it a lot quicker. But at least now I know. And that's, you know, knowing is half the battle or something like that. So, yeah, alpha-gal syndrome, it's I guess you could call it a woke disease because it gets you to stop eating red meat.
So, there have been jokes about that, but yeah. This isn't something to joke about. There are lots of...
I can joke about it because I have it.
Oh, you think you can just...
Yeah.
You just start throwing around jokes about red meat because, wow.
Yeah, well, why not? Why not? You know, it's beef, it's pork, it's lamb, it's rabbit, it's kangaroo. I was looking at the list of all the meats I can't eat now. I've never had kangaroo, and I guess I never will.
Well, it's certainly a good thing to get checked out, and there's so many things out there with bugs and parasites and mosquitoes and and all of it sort of persisting longer because you're not getting these freezing and cold weather bouts. It got really cold, now it's back up to the 80s.
There
like
are these
tropical.
Microscopic bugs called chiggers, which you get on beaches by the shoreline. We've had this a couple of times. Fire Island, we got bitten by them. On the North Shore, we got bitten by them. And they can carry alpha-gal as well. So that could be how I got it.
Oh, really?
Definitely.
I didn't know they also were vectors.
They are the itchiest bites you will ever get.
Oh, they're awful.
but what we do now, if we're going to be walking around in those areas, is we basically spray ourselves and tuck pants into socks and things like that and don't have a lot of exposed skin. But what we spray ourselves with is not the dangerous stuff, right? Not for us.
Yeah, there's a natural, I think one is like a lemon eucalyptus.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another one that is similar. It has some kind of oil or other kind of smelly thing that they're averse to. So anyway, we've just basically resolved to tuck in and maybe keep your clothes, any exposed skin covered, and then just basically get a good spray before you're out and in the outdoors.
Yeah,
but
haven't gotten any bites since then.
Yeah. You got to be really cautious, though.
So you can address these issues without introducing a whole lot of dangerous chemicals that will hurt you or your pets, you can enjoy the great outdoors as well.
I think it's got to be a balance. I mean, the more we talk about this, and I know it just goes off in all kinds of directions, but you have to. I mean, it's good to be outside, but you have to be able to react and respond to how it might affect you, but not overreact. And I think there's either like extremes of people getting obsessed with getting rid of like all the exterminating all the deer or coming up with all these gizmos or ways to just solve it, or like an overly cavalier attitude where it's just like, oh, this is just inevitable, or oh, I'm not gonna have any kind of reaction. I might, you know, I've been dealing with this all my life. That kind of attitude where like, oh, nothing could possibly happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's somewhere in the middle. You got to kind of. You have to balance your interaction and how cautious you are in being not exposed in this case in the outdoors. But I find that there's a lot of the extreme, like just wanting to be obsessed and consumed with it, or just not really caring enough, not really appreciating that you are in very close proximity to all kinds of different things going on, whether
right.
it is like microscopic and you can't even see it. I noticed this season for ticks in general, there were a lot of very tiny ones.
Yes.
And the same with mosquitoes. There were a lot of really tiny mosquitoes this year, I think, or at least smaller than what I'd been used to in the past. I don't know if that's a seasonal thing. I'm not an entomologist. I don't know. I'm becoming one. Just wait till I'm doing surface mount soldering. I'll get that microscope going. Like, it's going to be crazy collecting bugs and soldering them. Anyway, the adventures in nature and just finding balance.
Well, nature's not the enemy. Nature is
don't
just,
fight it.
It's a challenge sometimes.
Embrace it. Befriend spiders. We were talking about that last week.
That's the thing. You know, people are afraid of certain insects or spiders or various other creatures. When in actuality, you could be on the same side. You know, by having spiders, you have less other kinds of insects. Unless they start biting you, they really aren't a threat. They might be scary looking, but...
We're going to have to up our beneficial bugs next year. I think a couple mantis. We're going to have to get some mantis pods.
Praying mantis, ladybugs.
Yeah. We saw one or two of those this year, so... But definitely going to get real geeky with all of that.
You know, it's amazing. When I was doing research about the alpha-gal syndrome, it's prevalent in a bunch of places in the country, Arkansas, Kentucky, Missouri, all there, and Suffolk County, New York. Not New York, just Suffolk County, New York, this county. And not only that, something like 4% of all alpha-gal cases come from Suffolk County. And that's something. That is something. And I think 450,000 people have it in the country right now, which is basically, I did the math on this, about 1 in 750 people have this. So I'm in pretty good company, I guess, you know, or pretty rare company. So
medium rare?
We'll see. We'll see what happens. A lot of fun. Okay, so moving back to other issues. What do you think about this study? Americans view college campuses as far friendlier to liberals than to conservatives when it comes to free speech, with adults across the political spectrum seeing less tolerance for those on the right. Overall, 47% of adults say liberals have a lot of freedom to express their views on college campuses, while just 20% said the same of conservatives. Republicans perceive a stronger bias on campuses against conservatives, but Democrats see a difference, too. About 4 in 10 Democrats say liberals can speak their minds freely on campuses, while about 3 in 10 Democrats say conservatives can do so. If you're a Republican or a lean Republican, you're unabashedly wrong. They shut you down, said Rhonda Baker of Goldsboro, North Carolina, who voted for President Donald Trump and has a son in college. If they hold a rally, it's the MAGAs coming through. It's the KKK coming through. Okay, you know, Rhonda, I hear you, but when you equate your side with the KKK, or MAGA and KKK, you just did it right here. It's the MAGA coming through. It's the KKK coming through. You basically said those two sentences one after the other. You equated the two of them together. That's the problem, is that the things that people on the right are saying are basically aligned with things that the Klan said in the past, and that is bad. That's unacceptable. Colleges are places where people expand their minds in many different ways. And when people advocate for things that are regressive or restrictive or dumb or hateful, it tends to get a reaction. Now, I'm not painting all Republicans with that broad brush, but there have been a lot of instances, and we have certainly talked about them on this show, where Republicans are saying some stupid things. And you can't expect that to be greeted with, oh, it's all just free speech and it's all equal. That kind of naivete is not something that you expect to see on a college campus. You shouldn't see that. So, yeah, I agree. Conservatives probably aren't as free, quote-unquote, to express their opinions, but it's because of the quality of those opinions. If you say stupid things that are offensive to people, that aren't thought out, you're going to get critiqued. And I wouldn't say people aren't allowed to express their opinions. I don't think that's right. I don't think people who have controversial views should be banned. But I do think they should be open to scrutiny, open to all kinds of criticism. And if they can't take it, then they're in the wrong place. That's how I view it. Any thoughts, Kyle?
Well, I think that the young Republicans on campus maybe aren't fully prepared to, like, sort of take on and own as much as they are. Like, perhaps don't realize just how much there is to what Republicans have wrought. And I think that the moment you're in and when you're learning, you're being sort of thrust into an environment where a lot of history, a lot of important things are open for discussion and you know, deconstructed and taken apart. And as you said, critiqued. Critical thinking is an important part of learning at that in higher education. So to be surprised that your views are met with a response, especially if they are overtly aligned with extremist politics and stuff that, again, other students that do not share that are learning about and are front of mind at that moment in college. So there is a lot of energy there. It is a moment for a lot of learning and so forth. And you are at a point when you're not you know, at the top of your career or anything. You're just starting out. You're just emerging. So sharing those views with other students who are figuring things out, it's going to be met with conflict, and that's it's supposed to be peaceful.
Well, college campuses are a place for discussion, and I hope people do that. We're out of time, unfortunately. Write to us, otw@2600.com. We welcome opposing views. Hey, do you know, history just keeps surrounding us. 88 years ago today is when the Italian army invaded Ethiopia.